It is good to be here together again to open the Word of God together as we have worshiped in at the Lord's table and in song, and now we worship together and in the Word, and now we worship again together in the Word as we open the Word together. And let's pray, and then we will read our text. Father, we do thank you for this time that we can come together, that we can open your Word, and that we can, Lord, we can depend on you to feed us, to nourish us through your Word. And Father, we hunger for your Word, and we just ask that you would just continue to grow that hunger in us, that we would desire to learn more and more of you as we spend time in the Word. And Father, we pray that you would bless this time together, and that you would, Father, that you would open our eyes to see the truth that is in this text. And Father, it's a difficult text, but just a glorious one at the same time. We just ask that you would broaden our understanding, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through your Word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so we're going to begin by just reading the text that we're in. We're going to begin in Romans 5, and I'm going to begin in verse 12 and read through verse 18. And therefore, just as sin, this is Romans 5, verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free grace is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you remember last week, Marshall, I believe you focused completely on verse 12, didn't you? Yeah, Marshall, it started to do 12 through 14, but he really focused on verse 12. And I really enjoyed that message last week. As he talked about the explanation between, you know, about the differing views on original sin, and I had not thought of those things. I was thinking, you know, there's different views on Adam, if he was a historical man, but the views that he shared, those two views, primarily, you know, they really kind of go together, don't necessarily contradict one another. But I think as I was reading this week, I got to thinking, I've heard it's spoken of, you know, original sin. And I think my main view that I've always heard taught was the federal view, the more that I thought about it. But the other view, the realist, is that what you called it? Or natural? Organic unity? But the realist, I mean, that's the view, as I was looking it up and reading some more this week, the realist view really fits in with the Federalist view, in my opinion. You know, that Adam was a federal representative of all man, yet we were in Adam when he sinned. I like the way those go together. But, and I also want to talk about the other view that is held really common in our day besides those two that kind of go outside of orthodoxy. And Marshall, I think, talked about it some. But the liberal, kind of a liberal viewpoint on Adam. And, you know, and I want to make you aware of this, as I've experienced it some in just personal conversations in the last probably 4 or 5 months on Facebook. There's a view that all that we read about Adam is sort of, it's called the mythological view. Some people call it that, the mythical view. That Adam is just a fable, a myth that's told to us. You know, these are people that say that they believe the Bible. They'll say that. But they say that Adam was a myth and that he was a myth. And the reason we're told the story of Adam and Eve, it's to encourage us in our struggle against what we all face, like this Adam, this mythical Adam. We all face this time in our life where we will face these temptations and we'll all fall like Adam. You know, and it's like you were talking about earlier, like you talked about last week, how it's the Pelagian, you know, view that people are born innocent and that they're born like Adam in the garden and they live for a certain amount of time and then they fall and lose their innocence, and then become sinners. That's a liberal view, and people like that view, you know, because it makes it really easy to reconcile the rest of those first few chapters of Genesis with all that you hear that you're bombarded against. Did it really say? Did it really happen that way? And so they'll do that. But the problem is what this text that we're going to continue in talks about today. Is if that's true, what about death? What about death? If people are born innocent, and they're like, and this is a mythical story, and this Adam is kind of just something to make us think about our own existence and our own experience, what about death? And why do children sometimes die? If death came by sin, why is there death? You know, that's a question you should ask someone like that. What about death? And what about this? What about the universal nature of sin? Do y'all know of many people? Have you just think of in all of your history, views of history, things you've read, have you come across someone, that one person, that the atmosphere around them was just right besides Christ? But anyone besides Christ, where the atmosphere around them didn't influence them to have that fall. So if we're born, if this story is just like that, and there's a possibility of us not sinning, it just doesn't fit reality. Do you agree that sin is pretty much universal? I mean, you just see it everywhere. I mean, it's and those of you that have had children, as much as you love your children, you can tell at an early age, you don't have to teach them to sin, do you? You don't have to teach them. Even as a baby. You know, I heard it described one time about, I think it was by Paul Washer, was talking about, you have a little baby there, one of the twins, okay? When they get hungry, they would probably kill to eat, wouldn't they? I mean, they'll do whatever they got to do. You know, there's some... They can't, you know, they're not able, I'm not saying, but you know, even a small child, they'll do whatever they have to do to get what they want. And that's part of the screaming and all. I mean, they're born with that nature. And so let's go back to, we'll read 5:12 again. But you know, it's clear from this text and from the text we're going to go in today that, like Marshall was talking about, there's a truth to this one man, Adam. We can believe because the Word of God says there was Adam. God created Adam and Eve. In the beginning, God created them. And so we can believe that. We know that it's true. And in the text last week in verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man. Right here, the Word of God tells us that sin came into the world through one man. And death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So we can see the truth in the scripture here that there was the one man, and that sin entered the world through the one man. And we see it right here told to us that death spread to all men because all sinned. And y'all remember last week that Marshall really spoke of that a lot. Like, we were in Adam, so we all sinned. It says death spread to all men because all sinned. All sinned. It's a past, something that happened in the past, all sinned. And it's really vital for us, if we're going to consider the gospel, consider the good news, the rest of the scripture, that we don't push this doctrine to the side. You know, it's something you don't hear people preach on a lot, original sin. It's just not something that is commonly focused on. And it's very important that we understand it because of the way it ties in with the gospel, with what we're going to talk about today. It's vital for our understanding. It's vital for us to understand how sin was taken away, that we understand where did sin come from? How did it get here? It's vital for us to remember or to study. But I want you to notice at the end of verse 12 here, we see a dash. And in the King James Version, it's a colon right there. And basically what you have is a statement here. Let me turn to 5. We have a statement here at the end of verse 12, this sentence. And basically what we have is the parentheses that we're going to begin in verse 13. So it's like Paul makes this statement in 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin, colon or dash. And then we're going to go into a statement that's kind of broadening that thought out. And then you'll notice if you go to 18, if you're in your scripture, verse 18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation, that's where he continues the thought. That's where he finishes it. So what we're going to deal with today, partially, you know, we're going to dig into it as much as I can possibly do. And if someone wants to go further next week, we can. But we're going to cover the parentheses between verse 13 and 17. And we're going to go through that text. And so hopefully next week we may go ahead and finish the chapter, but we'll see. But this morning we're going to consider the parentheses 13 through 17. And let's read 13 and 14. So we have the statement in 12. I'll read it again. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. And then verse 13. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. So here we see in this text that that Paul, the God, is speaking to us through the Word and Paul, through Paul's writing, and Paul says that sin was indeed in the world before the law was given. So you think, why did he bring that up? Before the law was given, well, sin entered through this one man, Adam, and he says in this parentheses, sin was indeed here in the world before the law was given. And so you remember Paul's writing to Jews and Gentiles alike, and you might imagine them thinking, you know, about this sin coming through the one man, Adam, and asking. And we might ask, what about those people that lived before the law came? You know, you have Moses, and Moses is given the law of God. What about those folks that lived from Adam to Moses? We have the account of Abraham. What about everybody else? You know, you have Abraham, we have Noah. You know, some accounts of the chosen people of God in that time. But what about everyone else? How did the folks know if they were sinning, or was there sin? You know what? Yeah, there was no law given from God. And we read right here, it says, but sin was not counted where there is no law. Now, we'll talk about that some more. But you kind of think, how did God deal with them? Or how did they know if they were sinning? And it kind of reminds me of kind of reminds me of Romans 2 when we think about that. If we think about before the law, where Paul was speaking of the Gentiles that didn't have the law, yet they did the things that the law required. So it showed that they were a law unto themselves, kind of showed that they had the law written on their heart. But let's think about, but that was even after the law was given, was it not? You know, so what about these folks beforehand? And so Paul says here in our text that that sin was in the world before the law was given. But then he says, sin is not counted where there is no law. And you know, I don't know, do any of y'all have other versions that says anything other than counted there? Well, you know, there's another place in the ESV that we read earlier where it talked about that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's not the same word. I just want to point that out. It's not the same word. This counting word is a little bit different in the Greek, but this count means it's used in two places. It's used once here and once in Philemon, I believe. You know, it's in one place there. But what it's talking about, charging to an account. And so you might ask, if they had no law and that sin was not charged to their account, what about sin during this period? Was sin there? And how was it counted to them? What was God dealing with sin during this period? When you go from this period, Adam's to the fall to Moses, did God deal with sin on the earth? Let's think just a little bit. Did God deal with sin? What was the first thing that... Well, we see Abraham. Well, before Abraham, what did he do? Noah, the flood. God was dealing with sin. Mankind continually got more wicked and wicked and wicked until God acted. He showed favor to Noah. He showed favor to Noah and his family, showed grace to them, and told Noah, build an ark. And what did he do? He wiped out the rest of mankind and all the animals, everything, everything besides what was in the ark. And then you have the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, as Abraham's sitting there kind of seeing the smoke rise in the distance, where the wickedness had grown to these cities to such a point that God destroyed them. So God was dealing with sin during this time. But you still say, what is the deal with this not counting it? And I may not completely answer that question today. I may not completely answer it, but we'll talk about it a little bit more. But what is the deal here? There was no law, and because the law was not there, it says that the sin is not counted where there is no law. But then in verse 14, Paul answers. He says, "Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses." Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. So we see that yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. Sin was present in the world. Death reigned because of sin during this time. The transgressions were, you know, there's something going on here that's different before the law came, yet death reigned. And so death reigned over everyone. All these people we're talking about, they didn't have the law, yet they died, didn't they? They died. And he says here that their sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. So how were the people that were sinning, how was the sinning of the people there between Adam and the giving of the law different than the transgression of Adam? So how was their sinning different than Adam's transgression? Well, Adam broke the command of God. Let's just read that just a little bit. Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So Adam broke a direct command of God not to eat of the tree of the forbidden food. And I like the way Marshall talked about how we can taste, You know, it's like we can taste the aroma of the forbidden fruit because we were in Adam. But Adam was the first lawbreaker. Adam was given a command here, and he broke the command of God. So all the others that lived in this time period were in Adam when he broke that command of God. So they broke the law. They broke the command of God. Was when Adam sinned, all sin. You see that? All of us sinned in Adam breaking the command of God. So because of that transgression of the law, death spread to all men because all sinned. All the people that we're talking about in that period sinned in Adam. They sinned in Adam. And God continued to deal with their sin. But they didn't have the law, but he continued to deal with their sin. Their primary sin, though, the primary consequence they had was what? It was that one sin of Adam. It was that one, the disobedience of Adam. That was the primary thing that they were guilty of. They didn't have the law, but they had sinned in Adam, and death reigned. That's what we have in this period. And I want to read just a little bit. Romans 5:14. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. And then I want to just read a little bit in Genesis, the genealogy of Adam. And I want you to notice something about this. Genesis 5:1, beginning verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Death continued to reign. And you can go all the way through the genealogy, and what is the common theme in every when it talks about everyone? At the end of it is, and he died. And then this is Noah after the flood. After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. All the days of Noah were 950 years, and what? And he died. And so it was death that reigned during this whole time. All the way through the genealogy, death continued to reign. And if you think about, just think a little bit about the text you read this morning, you know, in Genesis. We read all those texts, and we don't really see a lot of covenant breaking going on necessarily and all that. You know, it's sort of like the sin happens and we see it happening and we know that there's a promised seed, the Messiah is coming through the line that you talked about. And there was some serious stuff going on in that text this morning that James read in Genesis. And you look at it and go, what's going on here? But death continued to reign through all that. God was working in all those situations. But it seems that you don't see a lot of focus on these people being obedient. It's more like God is working, he is continually preserving a line that the Messiah would come through all throughout those texts. But so there's a difference before the law somehow in this and that. And so I'll leave that to whoever preaches next week if they want to go into that any further about the counting of that sin without the law. But we see in verse 14, let's just go back to verse 14, we see at the end of verse 14 a reference here to the one who was to come. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. The one who was to come, I think we all know from reading all the texts, was Jesus Christ. And it's saying here in this text that Adam is a type of the one who is to come. And you talked some about types this morning. It's kind of so Adam was a type of Christ. And we think of Adam, how is Adam a type of Christ? How is that? You know, you have Adam, the man, the one through whom sin came into the world, and then Christ. So when you put those two together, how does Adam point to Christ? Well, we're just going to focus on what Paul talks about in our scripture today, and he answers that question as we go on to verse 15. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So here is how we get our comparison, why Adam is a type of Christ, and it's the beginning of it here. And I'm not going to explain it all. We're just going to focus on the rest of the text in this section. But the free gift is not like the trespass. So you have sin entered the world through Adam, and now we're going to speak of a free gift that we've been speaking of before in Romans at the beginning of chapter 5. But we're going to read this, that this free gift is not the free gift is not like the trespass. So let's go back to the beginnings of Romans 5. So the free gift, what is the free gift? And I'm just going to read the first part of the chapter. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies of we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And this is just prior to the text we're beginning in verse 12 today, so the free gift that he's speaking of as we go through this text is talking about, primarily, it's talking about the justification that we are given in Christ Jesus. It's talking about that while we were yet sinners, while we sinned, while we were sinners, while we were the same as this Adam or the people that lived in that time frame, while we were sinners, while we sinned in Adam, and while we remain sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Just think of that. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, and we shall be saved by His life. Comes from the text we were reading. So the free gift is this justification, this reconciliation to God given to us by grace through faith in Christ. The free gift is not like the trespass, he says back in our verse today. The free gift is not like the trespass. So this free gift of justification, reconciliation to God, is not like the trespass. For many, notice what he says, for many died through one man's trespass. So we're comparing them. Many died through the one man's trespass. But notice, much more. If we could emphasize anything in this text, it's the much more. Many died through the one man's trespass. Much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Can you see how the free gift is not like the trespass? The trespass brought condemnation. It brought sin and death into the world. And many died, all died through that one trespass. But much more have the grace of God and the free gift. And the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. For those who have faith in Jesus Christ, this is not what it's saying here. This is not just a reversal of that sin entering into the world. It's much more. It's much bigger than that. And it may be hard for us to get our mind around it sometimes, but it's much more. It's not that sin and death entered and that has been fixed. It's bigger than that. I just want you to see that. It's bigger. This grace of God and this free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, is much bigger. It's not like the trespass. And it is huge that Christ died for us while we were, it's just unbelievable. We were enemies of God and He died for us. We were sinners. Death was reigning. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but Christ died for us that we might receive that justification. So you can see the free gift was not like the trespass. Let's go on. It really continues in verse 16. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So we see here, he's comparing the result of that one man's sin. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. And he explains what was the result. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. So the result of Adam's sin and our sin in Adam, by this one trespass, condemnation came to all men. All men sinned in Adam, and God pronounced judgment on all men in condemnation. His judgment was condemnation. They were condemned to what? Death. They were condemned to the reign of death. There was no hope. Mankind was in a bad position. There was no hope. All would die. And that was the condemnation that was given to God for this one man's sin. And we see that it was a condemnation for all men. Even us. People. It's a condemnation for all. All of our children are born. They were in Adam. When Adam sinned, and this condemnation has come upon all men, upon all of us outside of Christ. But the free gift is not like the result of that sin, condemnation. Let's read it again, read the whole verse. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So, following many trespasses, that's the difference. Through this one man's sin, the condemnation came. But the free gift is different in that after many trespasses, what happened? The free gift brought justification. You see the difference there? There's one, through the one man, condemnation came. The one sin, condemnation came. The result of the one sin was condemnation. But the result of the free gift is what? Justification. And it happens after many sins, not after one sin, after a multitude of sins. So, though that our very essence was sin, though we were guilty, enemies of God, though while we were separated from God, we committed many, many transgressions, more than we can count. If you would think about it. We've committed so many transgressions, so many trespasses. The free gift brought our justification. Besides all that, the free gift brought our justification. So it is by grace that we were given the free gift of Christ that brought justification. And that's a glorious, glorious thing. And let's go on to verse 17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So he's just kind of continuing this thought and building upon it. But because of the one man's trespass, Adam's trespass, what happened? Death reigned through that one man. So death reigned through the one man because of the one man's trespass. But you see that much more again. I like the much more. I haven't paid attention. And if you notice, it was in the beginning in our first 11 verses too. There was a few much mores in there. But much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So through the one man's trespass, death reign. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and free gift of righteousness. Much more will those who receive this abundance of grace and free gift of righteousness. It's given to us. And much more will those who that is given to, notice the abundance too. So it's the much more, let me get my mind straight again. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. So it's a gift that's given to us. We receive it. And there's an abundance of grace. You notice that? An abundance of grace. So when we're comparing this, it's talking about the grace of God that comes in this free gift is an abundance. It's much more, it's more than sufficient. It's an abundance. It's overflowing, this grace. We were enemies of God, and we were shown this abundance of grace. We received this favor of God, not based on anything that we've done. It was just given to us, and it's in abundance. Through the one trespass, sin and death entered. And then we, after many trespasses, God has shown us this grace. And He has done it in such a way that it's so abundant that it is more than sufficient to bring justification to us. And then we see also in the free gift of righteousness. There's also the gift of righteousness. So by the death of Christ on the cross, through faith in that gospel, we believe, we trust that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture. Through that gift of Jesus, through faith in it, a faith that's even given to us, this free gift that we receive, we are justified. We're judicially declared righteous. So we're given the gift of justification and God declares us righteous. So we're also given a gift of righteousness. He declares us righteousness and then gives us that righteousness. And it's given to us by God. And this is the righteousness of Jesus. You know, we receive His righteousness. It's counted to us. And so you notice in the end of verse 17, so he's comparing the one man's trespass, that death reigned through the one man, but much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So because of the one man's trespasses, much more will those who receive this justification and righteousness, much more will they what? Reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And so when we think of reigning in life, okay, we've talked about death entering, and now we're getting this comparison how through the one man death entered, but through Jesus Christ we will reign in life. And you know, what do you instantly think of? Okay, are all of us here gonna die? We will physically die at some point. So our mind usually thinks of salvation in that we will reign in life, in that we don't have to fear death. And that's true. We no longer fear death. And just to read out of 1 Corinthians 1:55-57, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we will reign in life, no, because the sting of death has been removed. You know, we don't necessarily fear that death anymore. You know, we're facing death, but the sting has been removed. We've been given victory over it. But we also, in this text, if you go back to our text, I don't want to read that yet. Let's see. If we go back to our text for today, much more will we receive, much more will those who receive these things reign in life. Reign in life. So it's not really just talking about victory over death. It's talking about reigning here now in life as we think about it. And now I want to read Hebrews. Since Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 18, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So much more are we reigning in life now through the one man, Jesus Christ. So, the sting of death is removed. The sting of death is removed. And the power of the reign of death is conquered in Christ. The power of that reign of death. Because we have in Adam, through Adam, all sin and death entered the world. And you remember the picture of death reigning. Death has reigned from Adam to now. Death has reigned. But those who receive the abundance of grace and are declared righteous, who are justified by faith in the Messiah, faith in Jesus Christ on what He accomplished, those that receive that have this fear of death removed. The power of Satan is that he holds us in bondage by this fear of death, and that is taken away. It's taken away from us. And so I just want you to, the main thing to remember in this as you think through and read through it is the much more. As we compare, and we'll continue to do it some more next week, but as we compare Adam and Christ, Adam is a type of Christ in that through Adam, sin entered and death reigned. But through Christ, what has happened? What has happened? The sin is taken away. The power and the bondage to sin is taken away. And our bondage to the fear of death is removed so that through Christ, we reign in life. We reign in life here and now. We're given the power to overcome sin. We're removed from the bondage of sin. And we're given His righteousness to empower us to live in a way that's different than we were under our old head, Adam. We're under the new one in Christ. So much more is the key word for today. Much more. The second Adam, this Jesus, the things that he accomplished is much more. I mean, it's much more. So remember that. Death no longer has power over us, and sin no longer has power over us in Christ. We have been freed from that bondage. We have been freed from it. So I want you guys to remember as you go into life this week, remember that. We've been freed from the bondage of sin. As temptation comes, look right here in verse 18. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. That bondage to that sin has been removed. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear sin. And God has given us the power to overcome that through Jesus by empowering us with the Holy Spirit. And if we can live our lives with that on the tip of our tongue, as James and I have talked some, I got to work with James this week, and we've talked about little issues that we have with our tongue sometimes. But as that is on the tip of our tongue that we might sin, we can remember, that no longer has power over me. Because much more can we reign in life through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the way all that you have blessed us with. And Father, I pray that you can use. We know that as we read the text, no matter if we are clear in our explanation, that your word is powerful, Father. And we thank you for the picture we have here in the text we read today, Father. We just praise you for that second Adam. We praise you for Jesus. Praise you that you sent your Son so that, Father, that we might receive much more, that much more than just the sin and death that entered the world being repaired, that we might receive much more, be able to live our lives here in a way that is different. Father, that you have justified us, you have reconciled us together with you, that you have come and you made yourself known to us and shown us grace and mercy. We just praise you for all those things, and we pray that you would help us just to live our lives each day with that being the foundation of all that we do, all that we say, all that we think. Father, that we would approach each moment of each day with just the glory of the gospel on our minds, that we would approach each temptation that we're faced with, knowing that we've been freed from the bondage of sin. It no longer has power over us. And Father, that we can approach our lives knowing that as we age and as we think about dying, as we have friends and brothers and sisters in Christ that die, that we can know that is not something that we any longer have to fear. It's something that we can, Lord, that fear has been removed. Even though we're apprehensive about it, we can look forward to it. And Father, we just thank you for all these, all the good news that you've given us in Christ, all of these, the ways that you have affected us. And Father, we thank you for this church. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and to enjoy one another. Father, we just pray that you would bless this time of corporate prayer we're about to enter into. We just ask that you would be with us as we come together to pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.